Welcome to Hype, episode 95. My name is Selena and I am back this week with Pam, Kyle, and very special guest. Who the heck is that?
Oh, Andrew? Shucks. That's so Hello. Kind of you. But yes, it's good to be back.
It's so good to have you back. You might even say that this is your homecoming.
Good one. Yeah, I'm feeling Thanks. Inspired by the new Thanks. Spider-Man title. I think yeah. I'm coming back to the show full time.
We do have a lot to talk about this week. So actually, for this podcast, we're going to skip How We Hype and move straight on into the news because so many trailers to talk about. Before we do that, though, just as always, we want to remind you of the contact information. You can find us on Twitter at HypeableHype. You can find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com, and you can find or you can email us hype@hypable.com. So please do any of those things to let us know what you thought about this week's show and what you would like us to talk about next week, and of course send in your Gilmore Girls feedback like we ask every week. Okay, well, without further ado, I think we should just get started because of course over the past week three major trailers broke for Fantastic Beasts, Doctor Strange, and Rogue One. On top of that, we have some huge news in the TV realm, and Andrew, who is with us, is currently at CinemaCon, where he's just been watching a few small movies.
Cinema
and
things.
Seeing cool stuff, yeah, and we really want to hear about that.
Yes. So CinemaCon is, it only came on my radar a couple years ago. I believe it's about 10 years old now. Basically, what happens is all the movie theater owners like AMC and Regal and all their associated entities come to Vegas for CinemaCon, where the studios show off their upcoming slate. And I went last year for Hypeable for my first time, and it was a good experience because it's nice to see what's coming up from all the studios. They share a lot of previews and stuff. And there's also, you know, the movie theater guys, they get together and they talk about how piracy is ruining everything and, and you know, the industry is changing, but, oh, it's so awesome and better than ever. It's an interesting vibe here. Like, they're all just, like, desperately trying to hang on to the status quo, and yet the studios are like, we must, you know, the status quo is not okay. We must pave a path forward and stuff like that. But anyway, so yeah, I've been going to the studio presentations here. Just today was Disney's, where they played the first 27 minutes of Finding Dory, 100% completed. All the special effects and CGI and whatnot are all done. So I saw that. That was good. And then
what did you think?
It was good. It was colorful. It was fun. I haven't been wowed really by Finding Dory yet. I've been waiting for, like, I don't know, some real hook. Like, I love Finding Nemo, but I was like, why do I care about Finding Dory? And the first 30 minutes, they set up, you know, Dory trying to find her family. And it actually moves pretty fast. I was kind of surprised by how quickly they got to their destination within the first 30 minutes. And I guess the rest of the movie is going to be set there. Like I said, I just saw the first third of it. But yeah, so it looks good, I guess. For me, Pixar movies always shine at the very end, in the third act when it kind of all comes together. So we'll. I don't want to say how good or not good it is yet. But anyway, after that, they screened the entire Civil War movie, Captain America: Civil War.
Just that small thing.
And it was great. It was. You know, I'm not a hardcore Marvel fan, but something that a lot of people who have seen it so far have been talking about, the airport scene. Have you guys heard about this yet?
Heard about the airport scene. Is it
but
similar to like the elevator scene
tomorrow? So,
well, it's basically all the Avengers. That's where their first big fight happens in this movie.
Is it the one in the trailers? Because they look like they're on a helipad in the trailers. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And Spider-Man's in it. They don't show that in the trailers, but Spider-Man is a part of this fight, and it's just so good. Spider-Man and Ant-Man in particular. Who would have guessed these two would have had such big roles in the movie? But they're there, and they actually have really, really, really great parts. There's something that Ant-Man does during this scene, this airport scene, that is just like so hilarious and surprising. So yeah, it was really good. I'm gonna be very curious to see how fans react to the end of the movie, because I don't think it offers what people are expecting. Not in a bad way, just I think people are expecting some like big momentous shift, and I don't think you really get that at the end of Civil War.
So what you're telling me is that Steve and Bucky do not have a huge makeout scene at the end of Civil War.
No,
they don't. Disappointed.
They come out and they get married at the end.
Wouldn't that be glorious though? Like
just for Tumblr, second. It would be, yeah.
For the world.
So
no, seriously though. Okay.
So and then the night before, like Selena joked about earlier, on a Tuesday night, Sony unveiled the title of the new Spider-Man movie. It's called Homecoming, as was previously rumored. Which, what do you guys think of that title?
So stupid.
So dumb.
I guess it makes sense in the high school sense, right? Like, your first homecoming would be in freshman year or whatever. It's a big deal in high school.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's like a little baby. Yeah.
Well, and it's multiple meanings. It's definitely that one. It's also that he's coming home to the MCU.
Yep. Yeah. It's so on the nose.
It's too on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. We've heard that that potentially there's going to be one Spider-Man movie for each year that Peter Parker's in high school.
So,
I guess they're just really trying to push this high school vibe.
So does that mean that the fourth one's going to be prom?
Yeah, right?
And then the last one's going to be like graduation.
Prom.
Senior prom.
Hopefully they pull back the on-the-nose-ness once they move forward here. And Spider-Man, by the way, was just really good in Civil War overall. So I'm looking forward to Homecoming a lot now.
How would you compare him to the other Spider-Men, like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield?
Well, the big difference, as you can tell from that Homecoming title, is that he's younger. And Tom Holland, his voice, I don't know if he's playing it up a little bit in the movie just to come off even younger, but his voice is kind of light, like almost like it hasn't hit puberty yet.
Oh, really?
And actually, I thought that the juxtaposition between young Spider-Man and these older Avengers was really refreshing, because if we got another Andrew Garfield, not that Andrew Garfield's old, or we got another Tobey Maguire, it just would have been like more of the same Avengers. They're all in, I don't know what, their 30s and 40s. This just feels like a genuinely fresh twist for Spider-Man. And it's interesting to see him in Civil War, especially because he interacts a lot with Iron Man. So seeing the youngest Avenger working with the oldest Avenger. He's the oldest, right? It's fun to watch.
Well, it's so funny to me. I just have to ask again about Captain America, because like I know that like you saw it today, and Pam, you're seeing it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
So like it's just because compared to like The Force Awakens, which I see them as the same like scope, where everything was so on lockdown until the very day. It seems like half the people I know have seen Captain America, you know, like a couple of weeks before it comes out. And is security lax at all? Like
No. The thing about, it's not like there's any scenes unintentionally leaking or anything. I think the thing with The Force Awakens is that they purposely were trying to keep the whole movie a secret. Civil War doesn't really need to be a secret. The comics exist. You know roughly how the story is going to go. I just don't think that the Marvel movies need to keep so much secrecy around them. Do you think it's the other thing to remember is that it's opening a couple weeks earlier in around the world than it is in the U.S., I believe. So that's why like the reviews and stuff are coming out now.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't feel as epic in releasing it like that. But
yeah,
because I know you guys have all seen it, so I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I guess they don't need to, like, they don't need to keep it a secret. Like, that's everybody's going to see it.
Yeah, yeah. And after Batman versus Superman, I guess they're just riding their high. And, yeah. You know, they can do nothing wrong, basically. But that sounds really cool. I also really want to know what kind of stuff you saw from Wonder Woman, if you could talk about that at all.
Yeah, so WB's panel was Tuesday night, and the big thing was definitely DC. They had a gigantic, I can't even call it a trailer, I guess it was like a mega featurette looking at DC so far and where it's going, and like these WB heads were in it. They were like, the DC universe is just going to get bigger and bigger and better and better. And they were just promising like all these exciting things. There was a bunch of Wonder Woman footage. That was the only new footage in there, because that's the only DC movie that's been... And Suicide Squad, of course. So those two were in it, along with Dawn of Justice and Man of Steel footage. Wonder Woman looked really good. It's a period piece. You definitely see Wonder Woman kicking ass in the 30-ish seconds. There were some cool fight sequences, it looked like. She was riding a horse in a couple other sequences. Very quick shots of Chris Pine. You can't really tell what was going on in any of this footage, but it, like I said, it's a period piece, so I think this movie is going to stand out amongst all the superhero movies because, A, finally, a female leading superhero, right. And B, it's set... I'm not even sure when
World
it is
War
set.
One.
Right. World War One. Set during World War One. And I love World War One, so I'm very excited to see that.
So it sounds like it's going to be very similar to the first Captain America, then, where they kind of started in the 40s or in the early 1900s and then kind of pushed it forward.
Yeah.
Although she doesn't age, so.
No, she doesn't. But something happens with Agent Carter in Civil War, but I won't say. It might be a big spoiler. I have no clue.
No, don't tell us. But okay, I really want to know, but don't tell me. This is torture. I hate this.
She appears in the story. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And at the end of the DC mega super featurette thing, they had a video message with Zack Snyder, Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, and a couple others on the set of Justice League. And that, you know, they were all like super happy, pretending like those bad reviews totally didn't happen. They're like, yeah, we're here on the set. We're so excited to film Justice League. And it was kind of interesting that Henry Cavill was a part of the video, because the end of Dawn of Justice shows him dying, but then that little rock jumps on the casket, so it's presumed that he didn't actually die. But still, I thought it was kind of weird that they would just be like, yep, Henry Cavill is back. You guys don't have to wait long at all to see what happened.
I guess, I mean, it's Superman, you know, you can't really keep his involvement a secret, but, and they just needed all the star power at that point, I think.
True. They needed another smiling face on camera.
Yeah.
So CinemaCon, you know, it's not a fan thing. It's like I said, for these movie theater owners and press are invited to attend as well. And like I said, it's a good way to see what's coming up in the year ahead. So
awesome. Thanks for sharing all that. That's very, very exciting. I know you have to go soon, so I do want to move on. But did you have anything else you wanted to bring up from the...
I'm trying to think of some other movies that... Look, I have Universal's presentation to go to tonight, and Fox and Lionsgate tomorrow. So there's still a lot left to see. But, you know, I mean, Fantastic Beasts, there was a little bit from that. Eddie Redmayne and a couple of the cast members were here. And there was a new footage, but there was a new behind-the-scenes featurette with J.K. Rowling talking a lot. And she said that Fantastic Beasts was the thing in the Wizarding World she most wanted to write outside of the 8 Harry Potter books. So I thought that was interesting. Outside of the 7 Harry Potter books. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah. So that's about it. Check out Hypeable. I've been writing reports for each of the panels.
I heard that Eddie Redmayne said her name the same way I did, and I appreciated that a lot.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I almost tweeted about this, but I didn't want to be a dick. He messed it up at the MTV Movie Awards. He said J.K. Rowling, And it's just like everybody in the fandom knows that that's not the way to say it. So I'm glad that somebody got to him after the MTV Movie Awards, because at CinemaCon he said it correctly.
Somebody
must have pulled him aside
and him.
Gave him the rolling but bowling bowling lesson. So you're allowed in the fandom now, Eddie. I give you permission.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really funny, because at when I went to the studio tour opening in, like, when was that even? Like 2011 12, or something 11? Like that. 12, yeah. He was there. He was walking the red carpet like a fan, you know, because he was such a big fan of the universe, apparently, and he just wanted to go. So guess he's just a movie fan then.
Yeah.
Found him out. this leads very nicely into what we're going to be talking about next, which is all of the trailers that dropped. And we took a poll to at Hypeable, the account, to find out which trailer people were liked the most of the three big trailers, which were Rogue One, Fantastic Beasts, and Doctor Strange. Now, I immediately placed my votes and all my hopes on Rogue One, but I forgot that this is the Hypeable audience, so obviously Fantastic Beasts got 58% of the vote, and Rogue One got 33%, Doctor Strange came in at 9%, so make of that what you will. But that does mean that we are going to be starting our discussion with Fantastic Beasts, so
good.
You're in luck.
This is perfect, since we only have Andrew for a short time. But like he teased, this clip or this new trailer was released at the MTV Movie Awards on Sunday night, and Eddie Redmayne was on hand to reveal the footage. And I think overall it was really, really positively, kind of embraced by the fandom. There's a lot to be excited about in this trailer. Specifically, we get this really interesting little tidbit of Newt's backstory. We find out that apparently he was expelled from Hogwarts, and that's why he kind of went off to search for these fantastical creatures, but that Professor Dumbledore, who was much younger at the time, championed for him to stay. I guess it just didn't work out. So we got a good look at him arriving on from Ellis Island into New York, which is like iconic, and there's a lot of like tiny little tidbits here and there. So I really want to know what you guys thought, because I really, really enjoyed it a lot, although I'm trying to keep my expectations low because it is just a teaser trailer. I am really excited for the film now, though.
It's so good. I love the nuances to, like, the original Harry Potter films, and, like, but just how unique it was able to stay. And it felt like it definitely felt like you were in the same world, but that was going to be a completely different adventure, which I think was the trouble. Like, how do you get that? How do you pull that off? But I think from the trailer, the movie looks like it's going to be fantastic, and it looks like it'll mix well into a Harry Potter marathon, but, like, just different enough for it to be, like, you know, you can tell. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I like how you're already thinking about the ABC Family marathons.
Oh, don't you mean freeform?
The freeform. Mm-hmm, excuse me. I think the problem with the first teaser trailer was that it didn't really have much magic. It was just, it didn't have that Harry Potter feel, other than the Hedwig's theme music. But this one, you see the plates flying around in the kitchen, you see lots of spells being fired, you even see a few of the beasts. So I just think that the reason why this trailer resonated so well was because of these things, plus the references to Dumbledore and Hufflepuff and Hogwarts, which came a lot sooner than I was expecting. I would have thought they would have been referenced in passing in the movie and we'd have to wait to see that stuff. But it almost seems to me like Dumbledore could potentially play a big part in the series. Maybe not this movie, but maybe later down the road.
Right. We did learn that we shouldn't expect any familiar faces in this film in particular. But, I mean, if they're already setting it up, I totally agree with you. I don't see why they wouldn't, you know, grab Michael Gambon for a day or two and have him shoot some fun little scenes. I think that would be great.
Well, because one situation I'll predict now is that Newt is going to be motivated by the fact that he was expelled from Hogwarts, and maybe traveling the world to study beasts will be his way of kind of proving that he can do something good with his interest in the creatures. And I'm kind of thinking that down the road we'll see him maybe return to Hogwarts thanks to Dumbledore. Or Dumbledore will at least want to commend him for whatever happens in this movie with the beasts. Like, Newt's going to have to get them under control somehow.
Dumbledore's going to change the House Cup winner to Hufflepuff at the end.
Finally, yeah. The Hufflepuffs have a chance.
Yeah, finally. Day. Yeah.
I mean, if anything, though, I feel like at some point we'll get a flashback when they explain, you know, what happened. Like, it could be his deep, dark secret. Like, I don't want to talk about Hogwarts, ooh, you guys. I don't want to talk about it. And then, like, second movie, bam.
Hogwarts. Yeah, exactly. That would be a twist.
Exactly. I did want to mention really quickly before we move on, though, like, if the Hedwig's theme in this trailer made you just as nostalgic as it made us, you have James Newton Howard to thank for that. He's going to score Fantastic Beasts, and we've seen him do work on The Bourne Legacy, Snow White and the Huntsman. He's doing the upcoming Huntsman, The Winter's War, and he also did Maleficent, so he's definitely got some big names under his belt, and I'm definitely excited to hear what he does with the rest of the movie when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. And also the Hunger Games movies.
That's right. Those are the big ones. How could I forget?
Well, I actually didn't want to move on. I wanted to give my opinion. Because I mean, and it's sort of weird because I feel like everybody is so positive about this movie, and I'm so glad. Like, I cannot wait for you guys to see this and to love it. But you guys are not going to love it. Because, like, there are some things, and I feel like someone should point it out. So I guess I'll be the downer. First of all, the canon of it all. Like you pointed out, Andrew, I read that. I was like, furious. And I feel so, like, having such an intense reaction just made me feel so stupid. But I was like, no, because of the stupid, like, Fantastic Beasts book, which said that he graduated from Hogwarts, and now for the movie to give him the story, they're like, oh yeah, he got expelled. And, like,
is it possible?
I feel like, and I know, like,
I'm sorry. Is it possible that since he, I would assume he wrote his own biography since it's his book, that he lied so he could sound more credible?
Yeah.
No.
There
guys.
Is that. There's a bunch of theories. Some people think that. Some people think maybe
people lie
he
about
will.
Graduating from college
he, like,
all the time.
Went back
I'm just
like
saying.
Hermione. Right.
Yeah. Some people are thinking he'll go back to Hogwarts. That's fine,
but, like, it doesn't. What are we gonna say? Sorry.
I just think that this is a great scandal, so to speak. Like, J.K. Rowling may actually change canon, but I think it's okay because this is historical canon that basically nobody knows. I mean, unless you read that bio in Fantastic Beasts, I'm willing to bet a lot of people didn't read that.
Okay, that's fine. But there's this great article, I don't know if you know about, talking about why stuff like Pottermore and Twitter isn't a great outlet for
you.
Harry Potter canon, written by Selena Wilkin. And in that, the very brilliant person argues that the whole problem with all this is that the canon is starting to feel so interchangeable, and it's starting to feel so out of the blue. Like, oh, here are three more wizarding schools. Or, oh, by the way, Newt had this whole other backstory than I said he had. And I feel like such a small thing, but it just, I hear that stuff like that and I'm like, okay, well, it's not real, and she can just change anything she wants whenever she wants, and it just makes me feel really sad. And so that was one thing. And the other thing is just that, as you guys know, like, I have some gripes with the movies. Like, I love the books. The books are my favorite of all time, and the movies, I'm just not a big fan. And just seeing it, like Kyle said, sort of pick up some of the same, like, it's going to look the same, it's going to feel the same. I'm really seeing the similarities to Prisoner of Azkaban. Maybe just the plates, but it felt like a similar scene. And the magic, when they do magic and it's just those blue bolts of energy. And, like, that's what they did in the movie, and I feel like that was such a cheat, because in the books it's so huge and it's so varied and it's so interesting, and in the movies it's literally just like guns, you know, like wands or guns, and that's the same in this. So
Once those special effects are finished, though, could change. And one final point about the canon thing, and then I got to jump off the
you're
show
literally going to go.
Yeah, but I think if J.K. Rowling wrote that little bio about him graduating from Hogwarts back in 2001. If she had a better idea a decade later about how being kicked out of Hogwarts can motivate Newt to
become
the author of Fantastic Beasts, to leave the school and do something for himself. I think that'll be a really cool premise, and I think I'm so excited about this little twist. That's about good. Him being kicked out. I think it's so cool.
Well, so. I'm glad. And I'm just, all your reasons make perfect sense. It's just, you know, in my heart, my little fandom heart.
I understand where you're coming
heart.
From. I totally do. Maybe J.K. Rowling will give us an answer that pleases both of us.
Maybe.
She's going to have to answer. She can't run away from this one. She's really
Especially
going
not because you're hounding her on Twitter about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many times are you replying her a day?
About 30 times. No,
30 times. All right, respectable.
Once, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. And,
thanks for being
talk to
on.
You later. Yeah, no.
Yeah, have fun,
bye.
Andrew.
We're glad to have you on, and we'll get you back sometime.
All right. See you
bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. So, what do you really think of that?
we hate him like to infinity. He's the worst person ever. I never. Yeah.
Oh, the worst.
Just kidding. We love you, Andrew. He never listens, so he would never know.
No, exactly. Oh, hi, Mike.
Oh, my God, I forgot. No,
one day, like, we'll be lucky enough. Like, we'll have earned a whole show with Andrew. maybe by episode 200, we'll be there. No, but that was great that he could just join us for a bit of the stuff he'd been up to. But we do have a lot more news to get through, including the poor third trailer that got 9% on our Hyperbole.
Listen, I don't know why this trailer got so little votes, because me and my roommate were freaking out about it. I mean, come on, Benedict Cumberbatch in the new Doctor Strange trailer? I mean, hello? I don't know. Okay, granted, Harry Potter is huge. I'll give you that.
Well, do you really not know what the controversy is?
No.
Okay, well, explain the trailer and let's talk about it. And we can
All right, well, I'm
that.
Super excited about the Doctor Strange trailer because it is yet another Marvel movie that is introducing me to a brand new Marvel character that I have not really seen or heard about. I love it when new Marvel movies come out and I'm, like, completely unfamiliar with the hero or the superhero that's in them, because it gives me a chance to explore this whole new world and dimension, and, like, I'm super stoked about it. The trailer seemed really, really exciting. It gave me very large hints of Inception, with, like, the world folding in on itself, and it showed, like, a really cool origin story that I think is going to be really, really epic, and I just love the concept of using powers and stuff. So, granted, I'm not, like, a Marvel freak, so I can't talk about the details about it, but, like, as a noob's perspective, I thought the trailer was awesome. But what's the controversy?
Well, it's like, because Dr. Strailer...
Dr. Strailer. We got the name of our episode now.
Yeah. because, well, we're in a hurry, guys. We have to contract words now, 1984 style. But now, no, basically the whole controversy, and I don't know if this is why it's getting so few points, or if it's just because the other two trailers were more awesome. But it's because Doctor Strange, apparently, according to Danya, was originally envisioned as being Asian, and now they're sort of whitewashing the series, also with the ancient one played by Tilda Swinton. And using the sort of very oriental aesthetic without actually doing any representation, and people are getting very strong, like, Avatar vibes. You know, the Airbender one?
The horrible movie.
And sort of asking the question. Right. It's one of the many things people are asking. How is this still happening? Mm-hmm. You know? Why did they not learn from that? So I think just in terms of the representation, people are... It's been getting some backlash. I think in terms of the visuals, all you said about Inception, I thought it looked very, very impressive. And actually, I think Benedict Cumberbatch, he really surprised me, because I like, you get so used to seeing him as one thing, and then, like, you don't realize how much depth he actually... Like, I know it sounds stupid, but I never realized that he could pull off something like this that is a little bit more of a, like, the straight man. Because I expected Doctor Strange would be this really weird role, But in the trailer, he was actually like super normal. And I was like, oh, he can do that too. And I was very impressed that he could be so normal. So I thought it was a good trailer, but like I'm more excited about the other two. You know?
Well, I mean, as a fan, as someone who knows more about Star Wars and Harry Potter, I can definitely understand being excited for the other two more than this one. This one just piqued my interests a lot. And so as soon as it came out, me and my roommate like played it on our Apple TV so we can see it like big screen. So, yeah. But yeah, I definitely agree. I'm more interested in the other two. And now I totally understand the controversy. That's not okay. That really bugs me.
It's just like in Hollywood where we're complaining a lot about the lack of representation on TV, it just seems so bizarre to me that we're all excited about these movies that basically like no LGBT representation at all and hardly any women and hardly any like people, persons of color in leading roles, and we're all just like the dissent against that is sort of not taken very seriously. Like if you complain about it, people are like, oh, just stop complaining about everything. But on TV, it's like way more valid to complain. So I don't know. It's just it's interesting to watch that going on. And I'll be looking forward to like I'm looking forward to seeing this film, and I'm looking forward to following the social conversation surrounding it.
I, like Kyle, don't know very much about Doctor Strange. All I know was that he's a surgeon and something goes awry and then, you know, magical powers ensue. So I am very interested to see where this goes. I am also really excited because they were filming a scene out in New York City and I didn't know that Chiwetel Ejiofor had signed on for this, and I really, really enjoy everything he's in. So I'm kind of more excited also to see some of these supporting characters, because like Rachel McAdams is supposed to be in this too, and we haven't seen anything of her yet. So I think
she was in the trailer.
A small little. Oh, was she? I completely missed her.
She's pushing the cart. That's probably why I missed her. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But I just like I think sometimes with these newer Marvel movies, we get so oversaturated with like the main entities. And then they always have like this really great supporting cast. So I'm really, really interested to see where this goes and kind of like Kyle, just to like learn more about it as the story progresses. I had no idea about the original comics and stuff like that, but I do understand, given that information that you just shared with us, why whitewashing would be a problem that some people might have, because as we've discussed in great length on this show before, there's a shortage of, you know, characters out there that are meant to be played by actors of a specific ethnicity and whatnot. So it's always unfortunate when, you know, things don't follow canon like that. But the good thing is that whatever happens with this, like the character is in good hands with Benedict Cumberbatch, who's a wonderful actor, as is Tilda Swinton. So it's unfortunate, but at least they have some really talented names attached to this.
Right. You're right. And I'm excited to see how this develops. You know, it's too bad Merrim isn't here, because she actually probably knows. And none of us, like, know anything. We're just like, oh, what's this? Benedict Cumberbatch just with a beard. So, I mean, I guess sort of moving on from a controversy that makes sense to a stupid controversy. The Rogue One trailer broke, you know, as we said last week. It broke, like, right after we recorded our episode last week. So we've been waiting a whole week to talk about it. I'm still not over how excited I am for Rogue One. And this trailer just blew my mind. Like, talk about hype, you know, hyping up. This is just... you guys, this movie, it's so good. Star Wars is doing all the right things, in my opinion. And I'm just loving all of it. What did you guys think about
it? You know what? I flipped out, and I will tell you why. There's two reasons. One is Diego Luna and the other is Felicity Jones, because I adore both of them to pieces, and I just love seeing them in things, and like specifically people like Diego Luna, and even like before you know, Oscar Isaac is now huge and stuff like that. People like that, like, you never see them in bigger movies, really. So I'm really excited to see what they do with this, and I'm so into it.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you.
She said that I'm a rebel, I rebel. I was like, yes. I was so, like, I, like, that line mm-hmm. just got me so hooked, and it just looks so fantastic, and I cannot wait to see how they pull everything off, because they have such big shoes to fill, but it looks like they're filling them just right so far.
It does. It really does. Like, I, because this Rogue One is, like, the other two anthologies are obviously, like, one of them is Han Solo, and the other one we don't know yet, but we assume it's going to be someone really well-known. Rogue One is basically about no one we know, you know, like there's no one. Darth Vader could potentially make a cameo, right? Or like Boba Fett, but it's going to be about new people who allegedly aren't connected to anyone we know. So like that had me sort of really like randomly, like, why is this a thing that we need to be watching? But just seeing the trailer, seeing how Star Wars, like Disney with Star Wars, is really pushing this like agenda of powerful women and diverse casts and different stories, and I talk about someone actually making a difference with these movies. It's such a great contrast to everything else that we've been talking about, and just in terms of the story, like I'm so hooked. I'm so hooked, but it's like a Firefly vibe, you know, this rebel team and their junk spaceship. Like, it just looks so cool. And Alan Tudyk is there, so.
I'm so glad you made that connection, because that's exactly how I felt, too. Was like, oh, it's like Firefly, mm-hmm. but for Star Wars, and this is great. Right.
And it's really...
It really does kind of
It's
that
really
vibe.
Interesting to me, because as a fan, like, as a new fan... And someone who hasn't read, like, a ton and ton of source material, like comic books or novels, one of the biggest plot holes to me from when I watched the very first one, and when I say first one, I mean three, is how they got the plans for the Death Star. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, or sorry, four. Yeah, you're right. Like, how do they even, like, get those plans? And now this movie is going ahead and it's showing us, like, all right, we need you to get the plans for the Death Star. It's like, oh, okay, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's so awesome. So there's a lot of, like Pam said, Diego Luna and Felicity Jones just look fantastic, and of course we can't, like, talk about this trailer without talking about the big thing going around, the two big theories spawned solely by these characters' appearances and very, very strong resemblances to the two Force Awakens characters, Poe Dameron and Rey. If you look, there's this amazing Tumblr post that we'll link to as well, where, like, you can, like, it's just, there's, it's like, it's almost, it can't be a coincidence, you know, like, how much they look alike. And I feel like, because I had this discussion with Michael on Twitter, basically, where I sort of said I'm kind of coming around to the theory that that Jyn Erso, played by Felicity Jones, is Rey's mother, just because I realized how elegant it would be for us to hear, like, Rey's parents don't have to be Skywalkers, in my opinion, in order for her to be significant. And I feel like it would be a little bit too on the nose if she was Luke's daughter. But then if they actually weaved in Rogue One and told us Rey's origin story without us realizing that that's what we were watching, and then by the end of it, you sort of tie it into Rey, and you're like, oh my god, here's this amazing person doing this totally different thing, and here's Rey linking into that. But then, you know, on the other hand, it does also seem a little bit cheesy, so, but I can't decide what would be more cheesy, like if she's a Skywalker, if she's connected to the Rogue One. You know what I mean? And I also have this crackpot theory that Jyn Erso is actually Captain Phasma. So that would ruin that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going on in my brain.
I've heard that theory before, and I really like that. The Phasma theory, I approve.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm leaning towards that one just because it would be different, but...
Well, moving on from one ridiculously highly anticipated film to another, the MTV Movie Awards killed it with the exclusives this time around. We got a really good one for Captain America, and we got one for Fantastic Beasts, which we talked about earlier. We also got another sneak peek slash trailer for the upcoming Suicide Squad film, which I think everybody's ridiculously stoked for. This film isn't coming out till August, but they are definitely doing these trailers right. This new trailer kind of gives us a taste of how the government kind of put this ragtag group of villains together, and they kind of pose the question like, oh, what would happen if like one of our heroes went rogue? Like, who would you send in to kill them? And the answer is obviously somebody else with superhuman powers. So we see Will Smith's Deadshot kind of becoming the ringleader along with Harley Quinn. They're kind of like the two main ones in this teaser. And then we kind of see everybody else come in and kind of see what these guys can do. So we get a really good look at all of our main players. And the other thing I really wanted to bring up, of course, because I am the music person on this show, is that they're just killing it with the soundtrack for these trailers. Like, we got Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody in the first one. And this one features Leslie Gore's mm-hmm. You Don't Own Me and Sweet's Ballroom Blitz, and just the way that they cut these things into like those iconic songs is just so cool. It always makes me super excited for the film. But what did you guys think? Did you guys check this out?
I had not watched this trailer.
Neither of us check it out.
I'm
like not nearly as interested in Suicide Squad as everyone else. So it's one of those movies that I'm just gonna.
Neither am I.
Yeah, I'm just like I'd rather like if a friend is gonna be like, hey, I'm gonna go see a movie, and do you want to come with me? And then like we get to the theaters, and like the soonest time for the soonest movie is going to be Suicide Squad. I'd be like, yeah, sure. But it's not like something that I'm going to go out
interesting.
And see on my own.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, but this is okay because I'm sure that you're not the only ones. I'm sure some of our listeners aren't excited, but I am. So if you guys want to talk more about this, you can head over to my Twitter and tweet me.
Yeah, just tweet
and we can talk about this together. And yeah, totally exactly. You can tweet at Pamela Gokobachi. And yeah, we'll chat about Suicide Squad. The film does come out on August 5th. And yeah, I mean, barring all of the badassery aside, I am really interested to see if the soundtrack is just as epic as the trailers make it seem. Because I think it would be really cool to kind of use music to fuel some of the feelings in these in this movie, as they've been kind of doing in the trailer. So
yeah, and if you don't care about it, then just tweet me.
Then you can tweet at Tart Kyle.
Well, the downside of that music thing I was just going to say is that this is exactly what they did for Watchmen, and that wasn't received very well. So it's not always a hit.
That's true. It is a hit for me because I'm a sucker for, you know.
Yeah.
You see?
Stuff like this.
So moving on from all of the trailers to some other news that we have been getting this week has been huge with news. This one actually just broke just before we started recording, which is that Disney has announced another live-action adaptation! Woo! It sounded like this.
I'm sorry, what?
My card.
Do we even have the story on Hypeable yet?
This one on Peter Pan. No, we don't, but it just broke right before we started recording. It's gonna be on Hypeable, but if we don't talk about it now, I have to wait a whole week. And I was not gonna wait a whole week. Basically, like, the news is that the director named David Lowery, who has already directed Disney's Pete's Dragon, who will be helming a live adaptation of Peter Pan. And this is, of course, you know, groundbreaking news because Peter Pan live action.
We've never done a live action ever.
We never have, especially not last year. Especially not one.
But that was
Pan.
A Disney.
I'm pretty sure
that. So...
No, I know, but I'm pretty sure it floors me that like there's Jungle Books, there's King Arthur's, there's Robin Hood's, there's Peter Pan's, and there's like a million
of
them in the works at once, and it just floors me.
I'm just gonna point out also that this is how bad it is. I completely forgot there was a Sword in the Stone live action coming until you just reminded me. Like, I think my brain conveniently makes me forget, so I don't have to deal with it until it gets closer to the date.
So there's going to be a live action Peter Pan because we all need that in our lives. I wrote in the doc, you know, it already exists and it's called Hook. I love Hook. Never gets enough credit. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's all
or
we need.
Called Peter Pan starring
can we just
Jeremy Sumpter.
That was cute. Oh my god, yes.
That was cute. But that I actually am okay with that because it follows J.M. Barrie's story, which is what Hook mm-hmm. and also Disney's classic animation doesn't do. So it was like, you know, mm-hmm. that one was all right.
So I'm interested to see what they do with Jeremy this Sumpter just because of that. When I was a kid.
Of course you did.
We all did.
Major, major crush on Jeremy Sumpter as a kid. And then mm-hmm. I freaked out when he started doing that. When he did the Lifetime movie, because he played a character that had like this addiction to like online porn, and it was like really weird and odd, but it was like my favorite Lifetime movie of all time, essentially.
Mm. Plot twist. What if Jeremy Sumpter comes back to play Captain Hook?
I'd be down.
Oh my god. He kind of looks like Jensen Ackles now. That's weird.
Oh,
okay. I can get down with
that. The first thing that comes up is still Peter Pan.
Of course.
What I was going to say about it too is that the one thing that might be good about them doing this is that they can finally get Tinkerbell right. Or maybe not. Disney does own Marvel after all, but they also own Star Wars, so it's like a 50-50. I don't know. This is a weird story. Listeners, if any of you are legitimately excited for a live action Peter Pan, then tweet us because I would love to know that if you exist. That's pretty much it I had for that.
Cool. Well, I know that this is definitely a story you're going to be excited about, Selena. If anybody was uh-huh. also a fan of the network formerly known as ABC Family, Freeform's Greek, then this is great news because apparently they're doing a revival movie. It's called Greek the Reunion, and it's going to feature hopefully a good portion of our favorite Cypress Road University sorority and fraternity brothers and sisters coming back for their 5-year college reunion or university reunion, whichever you call it. The weird thing about this is that Freeform announced it, but none of the actors so far have really been attached to come back. So this is going to be interesting to see just kind of like who returns and who chooses not to. But the good news is that Greek creator Patrick Sean Smith is coming back for the project. So at least whatever comes of this will be, you know, semi-true to the series that we know and love. But Selena, I really do want to know what you think about this. I think your squeal in the middle there says a lot.
I gotta say, the best thing about all of this is finding out that, like, every single person I know was into Greek as much as I was, because I thought I was alone.
I think everybody thought they were alone, and
I know, because it's like one of those shows that, like, I don't know, you don't, it's not really in the news that much, like, you don't really hear about it, you just kind of stumble up upon it, like, magically when right. you most need it in life, you know, it comes to you when you need a show, and then you just realize how wonderful it is, like, nothing
it's
bad
the mirror
ever happens in that show ever. Mm-hmm.
Is it the mirror of TV?
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry, not yes, the mirror. Yeah, the department.
It is.
The department. The Room of Requirement. That's the one I was looking for. The Room of Requirement of television.
That, there you go. There you go.
You're right, yeah. though. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't watch this live, so maybe some of the listeners who did could maybe fill us in. But this was really one of ABC Family's first dips into, like, you know, original TV shows. Like, I'm pretty sure this was before Pretty Little Liars and, you know, all of that stuff. So
Life.
It makes sense why a lot of people... Oh, they did have Secret Life. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was all kind of around the same time. I know I watched it because it ended up on Netflix and I needed something to watch. And then I was like, oh my God, but this is actually good. Why did I never watch this before? So
it is good. And it's like one of those shows you discover it and you're like, how have I never seen this before? Because it's so wonderful. Like, it legitimately is the ultimate feel-good show. Like, for anyone who's like, oh, TV's stupid, everyone kills all the characters, and, like, no one is happy, Greek is like everything you need. There are happy sorority, fraternity, like Kappa Tau, the house, I think that's what it's called, is like the best group of guys. Like, it's like wish fulfillment, that show. It's brilliant. And you think, like, and even you watch it and you're like, oh, that's so cute. And then you're like, go on with your life. And then they announce this reunion. And it's just the feels that just, and not only for myself, but in tweeting about it and posting it on Hyperbole and just seeing all of these people just come out of the woodwork like, oh my God, Greek is my favorite show. Like, it was so cool.
Kyle, did you ever watch the show? I'm so into this.
No, I did not. I never watched.
You're like one of the two people that never watched the show.
I feel like you would love it.
You need to watch it.
I don't even know what it's about, honestly. I have never seen a trailer, never seen an episode, never seen a commercial that I can ever recall. So I got nothing.
See, it hasn't come to you yet. You haven't needed it yet.
Well, exactly. Like, I need more TV in my life.
You wouldn't like it. No one dies. But no, you would, seriously.
My two prerequisites for TV is either character death has got to be guaranteed, or there's got to be a hot guy in it at some point.
Perfect. Jake McDormand's in it.
Perfect. Then I'll check it out.
Oh, but also Cappy.
Oh, but Cappy, yeah, Scott Michael Foster. If you're, you know, you've got two boys to choose from.
Okay. Good.
Yes. And there's always
Rusty if you want someone a little younger and nerdier.
There's always Rusty. No, seriously though, we could talk about this all day. I think it's pretty much decided we're gonna do a Greek special, so just watch out for that. But yeah, we're all super super excited about that and looking forward to seeing who's actually gonna be returning. And the final story that I have this week is actually from the same batch of news, but this is almost like, this is the opposite of what the news Pam just told, because this is awful. So the Misfits, which is a British TV show, famous for its debauchery and craziness and just complete lack of moral guidelines of any kind, is coming to America, to Freeform as well, adapted by the showrunners of Gossip Girl. And like, everyone who's watched Misfits is just shaking their heads. Like, first of all, we don't need all of these American versions of foreign TV shows, because like, I think except for like The Office and maybe one more, like they all fail, you know? So it's a stupid model to begin with. And like, Misfits, like, it's basically about this group of delinquents who get superpowers, but that's not what the point of the show is. Like, the show is just, it's raunchy, it's rude, it's offensive, it's hilarious, it's touching, but also horrible. Like, it's just such an intense, visceral viewing experience.
And I'm so mad about this.
Are you a fan?
I fell in love with Misfits like 4 or 5 years ago, and I slowly fell out of love with it, I think, with the majority of everyone else, as soon as the original cast members started leaving more and more. But it's so unique, and it's so creative. And like, to say that Misfits is unique is like, it's not an understatement, because you have all of these shows about powers and about like people gaining abilities and stuff, and like, yeah, they're like heroes and misfits and Marvel and all this stuff, but the thing about Misfits is that it like brings adolescenthood and like growing up and like making those mistakes growing up into the forefront, and like, and they don't apologize for anything. People are having sex, they're learning, they're committing all of these crimes, and they're still learning as they're growing because of it. And so I don't see how they'd ever be able to pull this off on an American network, because they're not going to be able to do it nearly as well, and they're not going to be able to have the dirty, raunchy aspects that make it so unique, you know? So it's really frustrating.
Exactly.
Frustrating.
I was just going to say, I totally agree. I think I tweeted that because Misfits actually came into my life as an alternative to Skins when Skins kind of ended, like the original cast of Skins, like their term when that was up. Sorry, I just hit my mic. I started watching Misfits as an alternative, and they tried to redo Misfits for MTV in the United States, and it just completely flopped because it wasn't original enough for the people that adored the show, and it just felt like a cheap knockoff. So even though they were using a lot of the same plot points, which is what I'm sure they would do with Misfits, it just doesn't, it falls flat for people that have already seen the series. And Misfits has been on Hulu before, and it's been on, I'm pretty sure it's been on Hulu. So I don't know how they would entice the audience that they're trying to tap into, which is like the people that have already enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that like both of you have made some really key points as to why this is not going to work. First of all, like Kyle said, you know, everyone who watched Misfits and fell in love with it started dropping off when the original characters or cast left. So, like, how do they think that a reimagination with none of the same characters or actors, presumably, is going to do any better than the final season of Misfits, which totally flopped because it was new characters? So, first of all, that's the thing. And second of all, I just feel like this comes at the worst possible time because right now, obviously, in TV, everyone is talking about making TV more responsible, you know, that TV, you know, they're not allowed to be ambiguous in their morality because then the audience doesn't know right and wrong and everything that people are saying. And obviously, I don't know what the conversation is actually like among the executives and for advertisers. Maybe they're thinking, screw that, we're going to just erase morality completely. I don't know. But considering this conversation is going on with TV, taking a show like Misfits and putting it on an American network, which used to be ABC Family, like, obviously they're going to have to clean it up. Obviously they're going to be like, oh, yay, you know, teens with superpowers and they're a little bit edgy. Like, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, so, especially on an American network. Well, the thing is, too, yeah, sorry.
Go on.
American networks, they are just so, I don't know how to, like, they're so goody two shoes. You know, like, you can't really curse. You can't really have sex on normal, like, networks like that. And it's like, how are you going to even try to meet the same requirements that Misfits originally met if the country that you're airing it in is not used to any of that?
Right, and of course, I mean, you can say it to that. Like, there's Game of Thrones, and there's
those are like cable
premium networks.
Yeah, you have to subscribe to those. Like, normal TV, like Americans don't like anything.
But then, anything. Like, okay, so what about that? Like, okay, we can cut all this out because it's not really that important. But what about things like American Horror Story and
that's Sleepy a premium Hollow network,
The 100, and is it?
Yeah.
It's not a premium network. No, that's FX. It's higher than cable. No, it's like MTV. It would be in the same package as MTV. So it's like not okay, like basic cable, but it's, yeah. A premium cable network would be something like Showtime or HBO. But I will say, Selena, you bring up a good point, because I think that the three networks that, you know, aren't like, you know, premium, that really do push the boundaries as far as what is provocative on television, not necessarily in a sexual way, but even in like a violent way, would be something like FX, A&E. Mm-hmm. Damien's doing a really good job of doing that right now. And also AMC with The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a great job. And I was, when I went to a taping of their after show Talking Dead, the producers talked about how there have been a lot of scenes that like have made audience members uncomfortable, like people that are watching from home. And they said that they've never really felt any pushback from the network. So like, if you're looking at networks that are like really kind of pushing the envelope, like I would want Misfits, if they really feel the need to remake it, on a network like that, where they can do it justice. Mm-hmm. Instead of something like Freeform, where like even like Shadowhunters, I feel like I heard had to be cleaned up, like the original story, for, you know, to be able to air at like 8 o'clock. Like, that's the whole thing, because like that network kind of dies after 10. So how are you going to do this story? And then like you have the whole thing about how the reason the cast was so great was that it was four characters or five characters from completely different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different places, and they're like in the span of the UK where it was filmed, coming together.
Yeah, and they were all so British. Different,
but it worked. Yes.
Right.
Like Kelly, Lauren Socha, like completely made that show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was so hysterical.
Mm-hmm. So great. Yeah. You're right.
Right.
Well, so we're not too happy about that one, but I mean, you know what? I'll check out the pilot just because I'm morbidly curious, and you watch. I mean, it's going to end up being my favorite show. Oh, right.
Defensive we'll all do it. Yeah. On
We Misfits have to watch special it coming to you soon.
Yes. Right. Okay,
oh my god,
well,
we should do a live watch.
Oh my god,
live
yes.
Misfits watch that together.
Great.
Yes.
I Let's like do that. That.
All right. Well, one thing that I think we are also going to agree on is the news that Ian Somerhalder let slip during a convention. He said, I'm trying to find the exact quote so I can say it word for word. We have decided to do one last season to really do the story justice when he was in Nashville. And he was at Walker Stalker Con, which I've never heard about before ever in my life. But that's the big news, is because last week we learned that Kat Graham announced that season 8 was going to be her last season. And now Ian is saying that we're going to do one last season to do the story justice. And so it's like, all right, well, uh-oh, because this is not an official, like, statement from the CW or from Julie Black or anything. He just kind of said it at a con, and so now we have to wait from the CW and Julie Black to be like, yep, it's official, season 8 is the last season. But, I mean, if Ian Somerhalder said it on stage, it can't not be true, you know? I'm very happy about it. I'm like, let this show just die. I love it. It's great. It was one of the first shows that I ever binged, but I'm done with it.
How is the fans taking it? Are you getting a sense of if they're relieved, or that now that it's suddenly a reality, they're like kind of backtracking on the hate? Or,
you know, I haven't seen much backlash from the fans, at least. Okay. At least not on anything that I follow. I don't follow a ton of Vampire Diaries blogs on Tumblr. They're mostly followed by, I follow like 100 fans on Tumblr and Harry Potter fans.
How's your timeline?
My timeline on Tumblr is ridiculous. But Vampire Diaries fans, I don't know. I'm sure we have a ton listening to the show. So if you are really mad about it, let us know, because I think all three of us can safely say, like, all right, it's about time. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, for me, the show stopped in season, like, 5, so I'm over it. I feel like, you know what, we need to, speaking of specials, we're just promising them left and right, but when The Vampire Diaries ends, we need to do a Vampire Hype special.
Yes, I agree. You know? And we need to bring back that epic intro we had.
Oh my god, I wonder if I still have that. Yeah.
I have it, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You do? Okay. Yeah. But show me your teeth! Oh, so good.
But that would also require that people like you and me catch up.
I know. Oh, no. We'll live watch that finale.
Okay, perfect. And then Kyle will have to explain everything during commercial breaks or something.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, listen, this is why this is happening. And, oh, also, they've been dead for, like, 2 seasons, so that's why they're not here. And we're like...
Oh, my gosh. Right.
The interesting thing about this, too, is that a lot of people are wondering if maybe, if this is the end, if Nina Dobrev will come back and kind of tie up this Sleeping Beauty Elena situation that's going on right mm-hmm. now, because she's not mm-hmm. quite dead. She's just not quite there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll keep you guys updated. Anyway, this is kind of fun news, because just on the heels of us being like, oh, Kat Graham is finally free, but it turns out they're all finally free. So, yay. Very good news.
Well, we've got a little bit more good news on the TV front. We can all stop crying over Suki not coming back for Gilmore Girls, because Melissa McCarthy announced on Ellen that her and Amy Sherman-Palladino figured it out, and she's coming back for the revival. This is, of course, Yay! The news we've all kind
I'm
of been
so
waiting
happy.
For. I know.
I'm happy,
because I was
too.
Like, there's no Stars Hollow without Suki. Everyone's happy.
Yeah,
everyone's
I
happy.
Don't understand
and it's
how...
actually...
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, go on.
I just don't understand how that was ever going to be a thing without Suki. Like, it just does not make any... Grant, given her character being so huge, like I knew this was coming, because it couldn't have not... They couldn't have not had her beyond. It's just ridiculous.
They definitely
yeah,
made us
I mean,
sweat
they
it out
could
though
have, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could have been like Fuller House, where they just like Lorelai was always on the phone with Suki, who was maybe studying the art of pastries in France or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's too bad we don't have anybody to make this wedding cake, Suki.
Mm. Yeah. No, but you know, I'm super excited about this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been a really, really big week for Gilmore Girls fans because Entertainment Weekly released a series of brand new stills from the upcoming revival, and they actually feature a lot of little hints of what we can expect. The most interesting one being is that apparently there's going to be a Stars Hollow musical storyline, should be really fun. Whether or not we see this production come to fruition, we'll just have to wait and see, but it definitely looks as though Rory and Lorelai are kind of walking over towards the sign-up booth in one of the stills, so that should be really fun. Looks like there's lots of fun stuff abound in Stars Hollow. Release date for this, though. I know, so we're just gonna have to, you know, hope it's sooner rather than later.
Right, watch it announce it for like 2018. I'm like, no.
You know what? Considering that they are doing it in seasons, like every episode is a season, I wouldn't be surprised if they just release it in the season that corresponds with the first episode.
Oh, that makes sense.
That would be really cute.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like really getting into Gilmore Girls again because my friend was watching it and she Snapchatted me and she started talking about what team she was on, and we had this gigantic debate on Facebook about which person is right for Rory, and it was fantastic, and I tweeted about it, and then Selena was like, wait, who is this person?
I'm just kidding. I know that there is a Logan.
Okay, good.
I know he's. Well, I know what he looks like. It's fine.
Okay, good.
But I don't know anything else.
That was one of my favorite things about Gilmore Girls is the fact that like people are so adamant about who they think is right for Rory. They are defending their Dean and defending Jess and defending Logan, and it's like it's crazy. It's like a crazy shipping battle that's like still a thing. Because people are still really passionate about it. And I just like to say Team Logan all the way.
I'm pretty sure Merrimer's Team Jess.
Interesting.
Is anyone here Team Dean?
I am Team whatever boy Rory is with at the time, usually. Because I feel like they all kind of come into her life when they need to. So, like, Dean was good for her for a first boyfriend, but Selena hasn't watched this far, but Kyle will know that there comes a point where Dean is not the best choice either. Unless he's like severely fixed everything, I would say no to Dean.
Dean was not the best choice for her like 3 episodes after he was introduced. Dean was, I'm not a fan.
He was, you know what? He was gentle with her. That's what she needed. She couldn't just go straight to a Jess. Like,
no, you're right. No. You're right. But then anyway, we have time to talk about this.
It's not a hype special Gilmore Girls season 2, but it will be.
I'm making up for it because I wasn't on the last one. So I'm just talking about all my feelings.
I'm Team Tristan. There you go. How's that?
Ooh.
Okay.
Bring back Chad Michael Murray.
I would be down for that.
So, I mean, that's pretty much the end of the news. We do have some stories we didn't get to include that Tessa Thompson was cast in Thor 3, and people are speculating because Natalie Portman's not going to be in it that she's going to be the new female lead, which would just be beyond incredible. And we're so excited. Then it was also just revealed that Batman, what's his face?
That Batman?
Affleck.
Michael Keaton.
No, not that one. The other one. There's two Batman in our doc.
Now.
What the hell's his
name? Affleck. Ben Affleck.
Atwell. Haley Atwell is the new Batman. There you go. Ben Affleck is directing the solo Batman movie, and that's very exciting news if you're into that. And another Batman, Michael Keaton, is circling the main villain role in Spider-Man Homecoming. So, fun stuff. He's also coming home to the superhero genre, if you will. So lots of stuff going on, and we'll, as always, we'll bring you lots more as that goes on. We are actually running long, so no TV show of the week segment this week. Although I do want to know, because you guys, because I know all the other shows can wait because they're still going on, but The Walking Dead had its finale last week, and I feel like...
Oh, my God!
Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to rant about it?
I haven't seen it.
I think I'm the only one that watches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm about to start watching it, though.
Are you frustrated, Pam?
Yeah. That was brutal. I mean, like... And the thing is that the showrunners are like, oh, we never meant to mess with people's minds. Like, how can you end the season like that and not expect people to flip out? It's just like, it was so clever and just, yeah. It was just like, because there's no way for you to know who kicked the bucket. So you're just going to have to wait. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the most brilliant, but also like the worst thing they could have ever done. So yeah, Negan is here, and we're just gonna have to wait for next season to see what other forms of mayhem he causes. But yeah, I mean, like, as always, Walking Dead kills it with their finales. So
how many seasons?
It's gonna be a long wait for October, you guys. It's gonna be terrible.
You know what's hysterical to me, I was just gonna say, is that people like have legitimately started a petition with lots of signatures to demand that AMC reveals who the death was.
I don't know.
You know, just wait.
My favorite, though, was, like, I saw somebody post a picture, like, it was, like, a close-up of Negan right before he takes Lucille, which is his bat, to the victim. And they were like, Walking Dead's be like, let me get a good look at where the trees are in the background, because everyone's kind of lined up, you know, execution style, and they do a really good job of shuffling it around, and then you just don't really know. So,
oh my God.
No pronouns are stated, no nothing. It's like there are, like, apparently there are some clues, but I don't know if I can stomach watching it over and over again to see if I can figure it out. But if you are interested to hear what the rest of the staff has to say, we did do a really nice, fun little all-staff editorial where people petitioned or kind of like vied for who they think got the axe. So if you want to hear what the rest of the staff has to say, you can head over to Hypebol and read that.
Sounds awesome. So just to wrap up the show really briefly, we have a few tweets. It seems like we've been hyping this Gilmore Girls special so much that the only emails we get are now for the Gilmore Girls special. So, guys, if you have other stuff to talk about, please email us as well at hype@hypeable.com. But our tweets, if Kyle, you start with the first one.
Yes, so we have Blaze Anderson, and he says, love, love, love the Fantastic Beasts trailer and the Rogue One trailer. Felicity Jones is one of my favorites.
Awesome. And Pam?
Sure. Beth says, regarding Wonder Woman date move. Oh, I guess. Oh, that's right. They did move the Wonder Woman movie. They moved it up, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They moved it forward.
Okay, cool. So she actually sent in a reason for why this could have happened. So she says, in my opinion, they moved it because Paramount recently put Transformers 5 in the same weekend. Happy it wasn't pushed back. That is a very good silver lining indeed.
Yes. And the Lady Ash says that she is currently on her second watch of The Force Awakens tonight, and she is fangirling so hard. I would fangirl with you, the Lady Ash, but it doesn't come out over here until the 21st.
Oh no, that's sad.
So I've still got a bit of time to wait.
I've been fangirling. I've watched it 3 times at home, so I get it.
Oh my God. It's so good, guys. I love it so much.
And the BB-8 Sphero thing, you can sync it so that it matches BB-8's movements in the movie. And so, like, it reacts to everything that people say. And so you can put it next to your TV, and Sphero will, like, it's cute.
That's amazing. But you know what, to be honest, considering how much that freaking thing costs, that's, like, the least they could do.
I know.
That's very true.
I know.
You know what's so funny is, like, my brother works at Brookstone, which is one of the places they're selling the BB-8 Sphere, and I feel like camping out over there with a copy of the movie and just using their tester for free. Or I'm gonna have to go park it at Kyle's and just stalk him until he lets me in.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome too. It's no problem. Jewel Gamache, I can't say your name. I'm so sorry.
Gamache.
Gamash, okay, thank you. Says, tagging onto the hashtag Arrow angst from last week, this decision has really severed my love for the show, and I totally understand. She also continues and says, I really admire the character, and I am incredibly frustrated with this death. So are we. So were we.
And I just also want to point out something that just makes me so happy, which is that people have been power puffing themselves like we ask. So Maddie, who is at bookworm underscore 123456, and Ningzi at Frez B just sent in theirs today, and Olivia at OM Cantrell sent hers in a couple of days ago. They are so adorable.
So cute.
And it's so wonderful that you guys are doing this and sharing them with us, and you're making our day. So believe that, because it makes us so happy to see them. And you can see ours as well. We shared them all on our Twitter feed, which is at Hypeable Hype. And you should go check that out and get in on the action, because it's like it's just a fun little thing. And we love seeing how you guys power puff yourselves. It's always like, it's like a moment of truth. It's like you have to choose like your objects. Like, what object are you going to choose? And like, what's going to be your thing? And what's going to be your setting and stuff? It's like a personality test almost. Not to put any pressure on you guys. It's still just for fun.
Yeah, it's just fun.
We're not going to analyze your pictures.
Don't worry about it.
I noticed Pam and I both went for the book because we're journalists. So I thought that was neat.
I went for the iPhone because of Apple.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
That makes sense. And then Merima said it says Merima a lot about her that she went for the stupid dog.
Yeah. That's so funny. But yeah, that's the end of our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed. You can, of course, also find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. Our podcasts can be found if you click the little thing in the left-hand corner at the top of the screen, you can find all our podcasts there. Thanks for listening. Until next week, my name is Selena.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Pamela.
And I'm Andrew.
That's right. And we are all Andrew.
We are all.
We are one. We are Andrew.
We are all Andrew. We are Andrew.
So glad he doesn't listen.